right.
I took my notes on computer last night, so I'm trying something where I don't have to look at my paper notes.
On computer, Michael.
Look at banner, Michael. No one can see what I'm pointing at because this is an audio podcast. Hey, welcome to Nothing to Fear, a horror movie podcast. My name is Billy Schultz. I'm your host, and I'm joined for another movie this month with Luke and Alex, my two good friends, best buds, and we're going to talk about a movie. So first, let's do some check-ins. Let's see how we've been keeping this last month. Luke Mason, how the hell are you? All the way out in beautiful Nelson, British Columbia.
Sound like a news broadcaster with that one. Nice.
Thank you. It's my audition tape.
Yeah, you'll be on the cutting edge of vocations in 1975. Nice.
striking while the iron is ice cold. That's me.
I can't wait to be a cable news media broadcaster. That's what's coming.
It's gonna be so big.
I would like to join the rotary phone board and the horse and carriage husbandry crew, please, while I'm here. So yeah, I'm good. I've been working on some really true fiction episodes since we last chatted, which is fun. I have been playing Frisbee, doing trivia. Maybe this will be surprising, but I actually, as of recording, it's a week after the Super Bowl, and I actually went and did trivia instead of watching the Super Bowl because...
Whoa, that's actually surprising.
It's hard for me to care about two teams less than I cared about the Chiefs and the 49ers. So... If you don't care about the teams, not really an Usher guy. It's just
You're interested in seeing Taylor Swift be in the audience. Yeah.
You know what? I don't have a bad word to say about Taylor Swift. I think she's a really talented artist and I respect her oeuvre. But again, It's just I'm not the target market for her songs. So I only know like three of them. My favorite factoid about Taylor Swift is that her favorite band is Jimmy Eat World growing up, or so she has said many times. So maybe that's why I like her.
That gives her a lot of points in your book.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, trivia's been good. It's been enjoyable. And otherwise, just, you know, reading lots. I took my guitar and my amp to open mic night on my birthday, and it was great. It sounded
awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so first time I'd done that.
Oh, so good.
It was so loud. So this is a funny little aside. Finley's is the local dive bar in Nelson, and it's like the end of night bar where your dignity goes to ooze out onto the floor at 2 a.m. kind of thing.
So like Juliet's Castle.
Yeah, or like a Calgary equivalent would be like Ducky's, I would say. It's got that sort of vibe to it. And it's fun. It's also like... on a weekend heavily populated by people aged 19 to 24 kind of place, or 55 and up, you know, there's not very many in between. But they host the open mic night and it was on a Tuesday. So it wasn't kind of that kind of night, but I talked to the sound guy after and he said that at some points in my first song, it was like above the decibel level that they're allowed to have for like noise safety by one. That's like the level's 105 and I was hitting 106 at one point or something like that.
Are they holding decibel readers next to you while you're doing this?
The guy had a little instrument that he would come up near the front and like test.
Small town bureaucracy, huh?
And that's right.
Yeah.
So I like to say in the best sense of the term, Finley's is a garbage bar, right? Like it's
yep.
So silly. Like there's almost nothing you can do to be outside the boundaries of Finley's other than of course like being physical and stuff like that. But even I was too loud for Finley's. So that's how crazy it was. I'm pretty proud of that.
A hell of a feather in the cap. Hell of a feather for that cap. Like, too loud for the shittiest bar in Nelson.
Yeah. That sounds like a them problem, though, right? Can't they just turn you down, like, one decibel? Because you're singing
to
a mic, right?
They did, but the thing was I brought my amp, and it was the guitar that was so loud. And my amp wasn't very loud. Like, I had the amp down to only, like, 2 out of 11, by the way.
Goes to 11?
But it's a tube amp, and it's sweet, and I kept turning things down, but you know, whatever.
Well, I'm glad you're blowing out eardrums and, dare I say it, blowing minds as well. So
the last song I played, I did Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper. First time I'd ever played it on electric guitar, and it was a fun little rock.
Oh, okay.
So
very nice. Have you seen any non-horror movies lately?
Yeah, I have seen, well, I guess since we last talked, I saw Anatomy of a Fall and American Fiction, both nominated for Best Picture this year.
Okay,
Both awesome films. I actually just watched a movie last night called Burning, South Korean movie based off a Murakami short story, which is apparently that short story is based off a William Faulkner short story. And I only watched it because my favorite podcast, Very Bad Wizards, were talking about it, and I wanted to see it before I heard them talk about it.
Ah, yes. That makes sense.
So, yeah, I've watched a lot of, and I've been watching the new season of True Detective, which I think is probably, I don't know. I have to wait till it's done. It might be the second best. But the third season, I don't know. It's like pretty on pace, on par with the third season, I feel.
I enjoyed the third season a lot, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And
maybe something spoilery for my Something to Cheer section. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I think Jodie Foster is just killing it in this new season. She's like putting a pretty big expectation of a franchise on her shoulders. Not only her, but I think she's doing the best of any of them.
Awesome.
How many seasons are there of it?
There's four. This is the fourth one.
This is the fourth. Okay.
Yeah.
But first one's in like 8 years, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
And this one is also the one the most like so far, like, you know, cosmic and Lovecraftian and supernatural feeling than the other three have been. But we haven't seen how it resolves. So who knows? Maybe it'll all have a rational, grounded explanation at the end.
I haven't seen any of it, but I don't think I'm the target audience.
Did you watch the first season?
No. Is that the one McConaughey?
Yeah, and Harrelson.
Yeah. Yeah. I was told that it's one of the greatest single seasons of television ever made. So maybe I might dabble into it.
Well, I assume you're still burning through the back episodes of Grey's Anatomy ahead of the new season. So check in, Alex. How are you doing? How is the Grey's Anatomy watch?
It's slowed down a little bit, but I am happy to announce that I am about a third of the way through season 19, which is the season before the newest season airs in March, which is going to be around when you listen to this, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
I'll be there in time. I'll be there in time. Yeah,
you got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nice to ease off the gas a little bit. You don't have to like burn for the finish line.
I mean, I watched 405 episodes since October.
400. Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Because every season's what, like 22 episodes or whatever. Like it's old school season TV. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The last, like this newest one, is pretty. It's like a nice breath of refreshing air. The new interns are lovely, but I would say from about season 11 to 18 was a real chore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real chore.
So, I also have a question for Alex.
You go first.
Go ahead. Luke. Yeah.
Okay, so Alex, is the best doctor show Grey's Anatomy, Scrubs, or a different one?
Oh, it's Scrubs. 100%. Okay. It's always been Scrubs.
No one's coming for that crown. Is there anybody on the current seasons of Grey's Anatomy that has been there for all 19?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel bad for them.
I mean, I don't. That's like a solid, reliable paycheck for like 20 years or whatever. Like, get that money.
Yeah, because every actor that decided to become an actor really, really wanted a solid, steady. They went into it for those reasons, right? Solid, steady paychecks. For the money.
That's why I'm doing this podcast. I mean, for the money, folks. No, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
maybe it's boring for them, but I don't know. Maybe it's just nice not having to like look for a job every 6 months. You know, the way that like film and television can be, where people would just like do an episode here and there.
I guess, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, what a great bunch of check-ins. My turn. I'm doing
well. You haven't asked me what movies I've watched.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Or,
not my turn.
Or Alex, what I did for my birthday. Are we not being consistent?
We're not being consistent. Have we ever been consistent?
Okay.
Okay, fine. What did you do for your birthday, and what movies have you been watching? I answer in whatever order you choose.
I did an escape room, and then I went drinking, and I hurt my back 2 hours before I was supposed to leave, and I was hobbling around all night.
How did you hurt your back?
I stood up out of my chair after work. Yeah. What did I do? Oh, I watched Godzilla Minus One. That was a really good movie.
Okay, I heard that's good.
Yeah, I saw it in, I saw the black and white version. It was incredible. Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One Minus Color?
Yeah, exactly. Really good. Would recommend. It was some of the best special effects I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've heard it's like very, very good. And Godzilla is like an absolute just like bitch and doesn't care about humans. Because sometimes they make him nice, but he's mean in this one.
He's only nice in, no, was Godzilla ever nice? Or...
he's nice when he's, like, protecting humans from, like, a different monster. But sometimes when it's just him, he's just like, yeah, fuck these guys.
Yeah. What about the Matthew Broderick one?
Oh, yeah, that's the best one.
I'm not familiar with that
one. Was that a female Godzilla? Because she laid a bunch of eggs?
I think it didn't really matter for some reason, but yeah, there was a bunch of eggs that were laid in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Good memories. You know a lot for a movie you don't know, Billy.
I mean, allegedly.
All right, that's what I did.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, I'm doing well. Not too much to report here. I'm trying to get hours at the center where I work at and trying to keep things running there, planning programs. Just back on my old program planning grind, but it's more fun because I get to program adults and senior programming, which means I can do more fun things and like bring in guests and
you're an actual senior program leader now.
I'm an actual senior program leader now. Yes, I am. Woo! And all it cost was a move across the country and a massive pay cut. But here we are. No, it's going well. School is progressing. It's very weird going from like being a full-time student to being like one class per week. So I'm only there for like 3 hours on Monday and Wednesday. And I'm already finding my brain shift out of like school mode to the point where before I was like, oh yeah, I got to get to school. I got to get it done. To now I'm like, oh, right. I got to go back to school this week for a couple of days and, you know, do a lecture, which it feels weird to shift that gear. But, the finish line is ever closer. For my birthday, what did I do? We didn't do too much. We ordered some Chinese food. We dyed my hair pink, which is starting to wash out a little bit. And just generally took it easy. And what movies have I seen? I can't remember if I've seen... oh, I watched The Creator on Netflix. Or on Disney Plus, I mean. Which was
it as bad as it looked?
Yes. Yeah, it was boring. It was boring and long.
I stopped watching it. I watched like a little over half of it and I just turned it off. I didn't care anymore.
Yep. I was just like, whatever. I would watch it. I would just like turn on the TV and be doing something else. And then after 20 minutes, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm done for now. I'm going to go do something away from the TV. And so I watched it over about a week in fits and starts. And it was just like pretty bog standard. The visuals were kind of cool, but you know, it was not hard to see the plot twist coming a million miles away. And then it was like, yeah, AI, it's scary. Oh, America accidentally bombed themselves. It wasn't actually this enemy they're all fighting. Now there's a kid, whatever. It was boring.
Are you all excited for Dune 2 though?
Kind of. I remember seeing Dune here when I moved here, the first one, and then I haven't really followed too much of it, so I'll check it out eventually, but...
have you read the novel?
I read it when I was, I think, when I was like a teenager and I just started, reading more adult books, like early teenager, when you're moving from like YA chapter books to like, here's like a real book now. Mm. And so I don't remember too much of it. I'm not a big Dune head. Yeah. I should maybe check it out.
One of like it's a seminal work of science fiction for sure. Like it's
question.
Right up there with Foundation and Philip K. Dick stuff. Like it's I've read the second and half of the third one and it definitely tapers off in quality as you go further away from the first one. But the first one is truly a great novel and obviously great in its own story. But it's doubly delicious for people like us because there's the seeds of many Star Wars things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a planet in Dune called Corellia. Or something. There's something in Dune called Corellia. Yeah. It might be a character. So it's just...
Yeah.
Spice is the main form of...
It's a desert planet. Yeah, there's a mystical energy. Yeah,
there's a galactic emperor.
Yes.
It's so, so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know it was very influential in George Lucas, and I have read it, and it's... I'll check it out, but I won't be, you know, first in line. I gotta watch Madam Web first, said no one. Said literally no one ever.
You know what's sad about Madam Web? It's not even... There's nothing funny about it, like Morbius, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's no Morbin time. It's webbing time? That's boring. Anyway. Anyway, that has been our check-in. It's... Nice to see you after a month away.
This has been Pop Culture Minute with the Nothing to Fear podcast.
This has been... That's right. Well, let's talk about the movie we all gathered here to discuss, another 80-minute feature. Following on from last month's entry of 2014's Creep, we watched Creep 2, starring Mark Duplass and the actress whose name I didn't write down. Oops. She was good, though. So, sequel to Creep, Luke... You had already seen this one. I picked it because I wanted to see the follow-up, and I heard that it was a difference. I think we maybe don't need to do the, like, what did you know about this movie before going in? So why don't we just, like, get into the discussion proper? Alex, if you want to pull up the synopsis, we'll drop the trailer in, and then I'll do that budget and box office stuff, and we'll just start talking about the movie.
Okay.
So here's where the trailer goes.
I'm Sarah.
Hey. Welcome to Encounters.
Sunday morning, I welcome
Sarah.
Hey Sarah, how you doing?
It's the show where I look behind the strange world of online personal ads. What is their story? Who are these people? So subscribe and join me on this journey. You never know who you might meet next.
Hello?
Ever since I turned 40, I've lost my inspiration. I have no joy.
I'm having a hard time.
What am I doing trying to make the films that I used to make? What if I make a documentary? And this is where you come in.
I have no idea what I'm stepping into.
Aaron, is that you?
You are inspiring feelings in me. I don't know what to do. Oh my God. This is gonna be a good day.
I'm very excited about it, okay?
Sarah? Yes!
Sunday morning.
Are you ready to go?
Wow, you're a tough nut to crack.
Creep 2 is a 2017 American found footage psychological horror film directed by Patrick Bryce and written by Bryce and Mark Duplass. It is a sequel to Bryce's 2014 film Creep, which was also written by Duplass and Bryce. Duplass reprises his role from the first film as a serial killer who lures unsuspecting videographers to their deaths, with Desiree Akhavan portraying his latest target.
Excellent. And yes, the budget and box office for the movie were not available. I couldn't find anything on the budget, and it was a Netflix release, so they don't have a box office. But it is highly regarded on the internets. 6.4 on IMDb, which is high for IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes has a 100% audience score and a 71% critic score, which means it comes out to an 85.5% overall. Certified fresh.
100%?
Yeah, 100% audience score.
How many people voted?
Which I think...
Maybe
28. So, yeah, 28.
I see. It's not a bad movie. Yeah. It's not a 100% movie.
Not a 100% movie. But I think that, honestly, a lot of that score goes to Mark Duplass's charm. But yeah, if you like Mark Duplass, this is the movie for you. He's great. So yeah, Luke, why don't you kick us off? You saw this one twice now.
Even though you picked it? Just yep. eschewing the format?
Who?
What format?
What movies have you seen? What did you do for your birthday? We already did that.
Yeah. Okay, Creep 2.
Now lead us in.
I think Creep 2 is a decent follow-up to a decent innovative idea for a film. I think it makes sense as a second one because there are probably 500 more red flags about Mark Duplass's character in this movie than there is in the first one, which is okay because we've been conditioned. Like if this had been the first one, I think it would have been pretty terrible just because the characterization is so different. But because we already know he's like a completely ungrounded, like he's a serial killer without any sort of compunction in doing this. He'll just do whatever, whenever, to whoever, to satisfy his own, not even bloodlust, just sense of excellency in the world, I guess. It's his job. It's his job. And he wants to do it.
He found his passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I was like, okay, every single thing he's saying and doing in this movie is a red flag, which as the audience is fine because we already know what he is. And the character, the Sarah character, should know, but that would make for a bad movie.
And does. Admits to knowing. Like, she admits to being like, yeah, this is a bad idea, but still. The movie must movie.
She still has a line about two-thirds of the way through the movie where he asks her point blank, do you believe I'm a serial killer? Tell the truth. And she says no. And he's like,
right.
Thank you for telling the truth. And like, he's looking for, like, he wants authenticity, you know? He's really just Sartre's existentialist hero. He just wants authenticity in the people around him. That's all.
Yeah. Doesn't want to be going through the motions. Yeah.
But I found this movie to be less compelling than the first one. And I think it's just because it doesn't really innovate in any way on the first one.
Sure.
Allows us to see a little bit more under the surface of a serial killer's psychology. Because in the first movie, we're like, something's off about this guy, but what is it exactly? We're not totally sure, even though we might guess it. It's not confirmed. But because it's confirmed in this one, we're getting a slightly more, almost kind of like true crime. And because she's making a webisode, it's like she's asking journalistic type questions of him. So it's almost like it's the one of those like, oh, here's a guy in prison. Let's talk to him about how his brain works. Whole endeavor, which is, again, fine. I just didn't find it to be like particularly innovative. Then at some point, I was thinking like, what the fuck, Sarah? Like, are you wanting to die? Do you have a death wish? Like, you're obviously going to be killed by this guy. What are you? And the reason given of why she doesn't leave is that she's just so desperately trying to get a good webisode because she wants to find a real character. Like, this is her passion, to make internet television that's like high quality art. I'm just like,
she's a would-be YouTuber. Yeah.
I don't think that that's a good enough reason to risk being slaughtered in the forest by this guy. And it's not even until he, at the end, stabs himself that she truly understands what this is. And I'm like, you are willfully ignorant, and this should not be a surprise to you. And I know that you are ultimately the victim here, but like, you need to be smarter, Sarah. You need to be smarter. Mm-hmm. And then I just found the ending much too, I don't even know the right adjective. Like, okay, first he's weakened and he's gonna die because he's killing himself. No, he's actually got enough strength to chase her down, even though he stabbed himself like 8 times in the abdomen. How is that possible exactly? Yeah. But okay. And then he's got enough strength to knock her out, stab her a bunch of times, and pull her into the grave that he has dug for both of them. Yes, both of them.
Yeah.
And then he crawls out of the grave, and she's in the grave, presumably dead. And he starts talking to the camera.
She's dead,
And then she comes out and, like, bashes his head in with a shovel. But, of course, so never mind all her stab wounds. She's fine. She's got enough strength to swing a shovel as hard as she can at this guy's head. But only once. I'm only going to do this once. I'm going to not double tap.
Stab it, run away. Yeah.
Not confirm. I'm just going to run away, even though I should just smatter his brains. And then the end of the movie is somebody filming Sarah in the subway, and she sees the person, and presumably it's... But he takes the name Aaron in this one from the guy in the first one.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, the twist of this movie is that instead of one of them dying or both of them dying, zero of them are dying. That's the twist. And so it was just too stupid. I found the ending very, very stupid in the logic of it all. But the movie itself, totally fine. Not 100%. 6.4 is probably a better score, I would say.
Yeah, I think you've said a lot of things that are really poignant and true about the movie. That's okay. I agree that it, again, the found footage premise kind of falls down at the end. You know, we ask those questions like, how are we seeing this edited film or whatever? But I think the plot contrivances and the plot aside, the performances are really what makes this movie good and enjoyable and funny.
Yeah.
I will say that I did not find this movie scary at any point. Possibly also spoiling my scariest part of the movie later, but it was much more funny and absurd. And I know it's all like acting and they're working together, but I really, really bought the sensation that Aaron, who is Mark Duplass's character this time, was completely on the back foot around Sarah. Like the way she asked him questions, she disrupted him, she like threw off his groove, and you could see like in his face and the way his body, like his body language, he was out of his depth a little bit. And that is like confusing to him and exciting to him as this like prolific murderer no one's ever heard of. And I think just watching him like process this victim of his was very fun to see him do it, because he did a lot of it non-verbally. Like it was all physical performance. And I think he did that really well. He did that so good. And he was such a weird guy to watch on camera. And Mark Duplass, like, I don't know. I think in the last episode you suggested another one of his movies to watch. And I kind of want to check it out now because I kind of want to see more of him. But I can't remember. I can look it up on IMDb.
Safety Not Guaranteed. It's probably that one.
Safety Not. Yeah. Okay.
He's also a weird guy in that one, but very different kind of weird.
Different kind of weird guy. Yeah. I will say that I resonated with Sarah a lot, especially as a content creator, going like, only 9 views on my video. That sucks. I was like, ooh, it sounds like Nothing to Fear podcast download numbers. But that being said, I would not agree to go into the forest, you know, just for social media views or internet viewership. So
what would be the Nothing to Fear equivalent? Like, instead of horror movies, we start watching like dark web real life videos of people dying and talking about
watching just talking about snuff films. Not for all the followers in the world.
Well, that's that's a difference between Sarah and you, Billy.
I think so, yeah. But the way that he portrays Aaron this time, I also found it very funny that in Creep 1 I consistently got, there's Joshua and Aaron, the only two people in, and I still called them the Joseph and Aaron, not Joshua. Pardon me. See, great with names. But I called Mark Duplass's character Aaron a few times, and it was just funny that in this movie he's passing himself off as Aaron.
It was his favorite.
More to say on that, but I want to get Alex Wan, what'd you think of Creep 2?
I like Creep 2 more than Creep 1.
Ooh, okay.
At least story-wise. I agree. I found the whole Sarah flipping the script part of the story much more interesting than the first one, where, you know, Aaron in this one doesn't really know how to handle her, and he seems confused and weirded out even, which, given the context of the first one, I thought made for an interesting plot. And I will continue to say this and say it again. Found footage is boring and lazy.
Okay. Boring and lazy. Summed up pretty well, because it is a contrivance. It is a way to like hide things from the viewer, and, you know, makes for jump scares, which, none of them were effective jump scares. Well, they were, I mean, maybe there would have been in a theater setting, but like, because I have in my brain the knowledge of how he is from Creep 1, watching him do all his old tricks again was just like, okay, yeah, there's scary jumps, loud jump scares, but that I, again, wasn't scared at any of them, even when Sarah flipped the script and got him a few times, which he really seemed to enjoy. He really seemed to love being jump scared. And I think we also saw that at the end of Creep 1 because he jump scared himself in his little video of Aaron getting axe in the head. I think what really makes the tension of this movie, because I can see there's not going to be any tension if you watch it again, because instead of like Creep 1 figuring out what is up with this guy? Why is he so weird? And then the reveal of him being a serial killer. Going into that with the knowledge of him being a serial killer and him like having this modus operandi, the tension becomes, when does Sarah figure it out? And that kind of even wrong foots us, because technically she finds it out right away. He's like, hi, my name is Aaron. I'm a serial killer.
Yeah.
But then it's like, when does she believe what he tells her?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess really if we're going to psychoanalyze Sarah, she's operating in intentional ignorance. Like she's figuring out a way to make her not have to think about whether or not this is true, you know? I mean, sure, she puts a knife in her sock to deal with Aaron if need be. But, I mean, she just... She seems to lack a survival instinct that I possess, and I don't know what to think about a person like that. Like they probably exist. There's probably some mechanism in people that make them so daredevil-y that they can go just to the edge of a cliff all the time without any sort of like vertigo or anything of that nature. But it was weird because Sarah kept talking as if she didn't want to die, or was like, I don't buy her motivation because I don't resonate with it. So it had to be purely intellectual for me. It's like, okay, she wants her webisode so bad that she's willing to risk pretty clear death to get it. And so I think the Sarah side of the ledger, yes, it was interesting how she kept him on the back foot, but the kind of real life things that prickle the back of my head when I'm watching, it's like, hey, this is just so not reality in a person's motivation that it's hard when that's the case for me to buy in. But the performances, as you say, were quite good. So it made it like, I wasn't bored watching it. And it was actually really beautiful. Like the setting and the lighting was great. But I didn't like it as much. I liked this one less than the first.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair. But we could spend the whole episode talking about Aaron and Sarah, but there is actually more than two people in this movie. And in fact, we open on a victim after Aaron, but before Sarah, in the form of Dave, who is what the film opens on. We kind of get the last bit of the original Aaron plot with you know, him getting a recording DVD. We get that the whole bit is a camera inside a baby wolf's thing, and I really wanted to just compliment again Mark Duplass on his like serial killer ennui that he had, where he's just like, yeah, this is just like a job. I'm just fucking going through the motions, not feeling it. Yeah. And against, you know, all the rational parts of me that's like, killing humans is a bad idea, you know, you kind of feel bad for him. You're like, you hate to see a guy unmotivated. You hate to see a guy feeling like humdrum about what he's doing. It takes, I think, a pretty compelling performance to play that off. And then just like the way he's like pondering after he so casually slits this guy's throat, and then the guy slumps on the table and he just like rests on his head and kind of is like, oh well, another day, another dollar. It's just
yeah, that's another thing. Where does he get all his money? Like, how is he funding all this?
This was a question I had for you later. He says several times that this is the best job in the world. It's his favorite line of work. It's what he does for a living. And I'm like, what kind of money is this? What funds? Where do you get your funds?
You said he was rich in the first one, right?
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he not?
Yeah, he talks about something in.
He's got a fucking cabin in the woods in California. He's kind of loaded.
But he's also got a sister that knows he's weird. How has he never been caught?
Yeah, we don't get any more backstory on the sister aspect, whether that is a person who is actually related to him or a lackey, sort of like a Saw Amanda kind of relationship that we don't know about. But they kind of drop that off. Boop. So yeah, who knows?
True. Well, he's got nice houses.
He's got nice houses. I love that he's having like a midlife crisis. He's turning 40. He's done 39 murders in his 40 years of life and apparently started at 15. So that's like, that's more than one a year. Yeah, a couple double up years, you know, which is, yeah, I guess he would get bored after it.
Well, and you got to think too, like, as far as we know, he really only kills people after he like builds relationships with them, right? Like, it's not like he just goes out, finds somebody and kills them. I mean, maybe he has at some point, but then realize that's not what he's good at. He's good at wining and dining them first. Like, at the beginning, Dave is a very, seems to really like Aaron, and they have built a good friendship, which leads
they have
me
a beer
to
together.
One of the things that Aaron is good at is finding lonely people and exploiting that. So he would probably make a pretty good cult leader too, actually, if he really wanted to.
Yeah,
but he just kind of skips the whole ideology part and just goes straight to the like let me murder you part.
Maybe he's better one-on-one. Maybe he like doesn't have that same sort of level of like charisma in a big group that you would need to be a cult leader, you know. He's better on the one-on-one interviews. Another thing I liked, and a part of like the workings of my mind as this movie was watching, is his comment that everybody he kills, which apparently he also lies in the grave naked with them. Whatever, that's weird. But like, he's like, his whole thing is like, part of their soul gets into me after that. And so he had a scene where he talks about, he's got like a patch on his beard that doesn't grow in, and it's because he's got the trichotillomania, the like picking at your hair and skin disease. That's a real thing. It's a real thing that people suffer from. And he says he got that from the first person he ever killed. And so I was wondering, I was like, oh, do we think that because original Aaron was such a like, you know, sad sack guy who didn't seem like he really cared about his own life at the end, that is where new Mark Duplass Aaron absorbed that part of his character, and that's why he was feeling like sad and ennui and just like unmotivated, because he inherited it from his other victim. Maybe.
I'm sure.
Who knows? Look, I gotta find a deeper meaning. I gotta.
So here's my question.
Give us your question, Alex.
So he's like, I want honesty from you, right? And you could say that he was honest with Sarah, because he straight up told her I'm a serial killer, but then he becomes dishonest and saying, yeah, this is just, like, it's fake, right? Like, let's...
With a hanging scene?
Yeah. So, like, is he honest or dishonest? Or, because, like, I don't know. I've never studied the human brain, but are serial killers, like, how do they work? Tell me.
Well, I know that, like, the popular psychology thing is to talk about the dark triad, the Machiavellianism, narcissism, and what's the third one, Luke, help me out, psychopathy.
And then there's potential fourth, sadism.
That's right, there's a dark tetrad, sadism. But like, the idea is that these psychopaths understand how people work, but they do not work in that way. So like, Aaron understands empathy, understands the concept of sympathy, can perform that convincingly to other people, but like in his like heart and in his mind and in his brain doesn't feel any of those feelings, and is using that to manipulate people to get what he wants. Antisocial personality disorder is like a complete disregard for the rules of society. A lot of people misuse antisocial personality as like, oh, I'm just like introverted, I don't like going out and seeing people. But being introverted is not the same as being antisocial. Being antisocial is like, I should be allowed to take food from the grocery store, and I don't care that the convention is that we pay for it. Or I should be allowed to take your car because I need a car and your car is there and I want it. Yeah. Like, without
regard. Wait, that's antisocial?
Yeah, that's antisocial.
A more like probably a more accurate term for introverted people would be something more like asocial or non-social.
Yes, yeah.
It's like a neutral term versus opposite. Yeah, moving.
Antisocial is like deliberately going away from the rules of society in a way that like you don't care if you harm other people.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Here's a PSA, everybody, and my psych professor. Shout out, you'd be very happy. One of his things was like, if you only remember one thing from my class, it's that introverted does not equal antisocial.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to go like hang out with people, you're not being antisocial. What were you talking about? Okay, so yes, his whole like telling the truth and like, you know, he has this line, is like, I tell the truth, maybe not always with my words, but with my heart and with my eyes and with my soul. And it's like, okay, but people don't know what your heart and eyes or soul are saying. So it only like counts as the truth in your head. The defense he has of being like, well, listen, with original Aaron, or he calls him Buddy in this movie to distinguish him from the name he's using, he's like, with Buddy, I let him know there was an axe right in front of the house that I was going to kill him with. And it's like, yeah, but a normal, quote unquote, normal person is not going to assume, hey, I bet that axe is going to be used to kill me later, like, unless you're Chekhov.
So,
and then that's...
Are we to suggest he's an ethical serial killer?
No.
No, oh, so he's an unethical serial killer.
Yes.
Okay.
It seems redundant.
I think there's ethical killings, right?
Yeah, but the definition of a serial killer is a murderer. And a murder is defined as an unjustified killing.
Is murder unjustified killing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Could murder ever be justified?
No, it wouldn't. Like, it's the definition of murder is that it's an unjustified killing. Yeah. A killing that isn't murder.
So manslaughter is not murder.
No, it's not.
Manslaughter is accidental.
Yeah. And then there's also...
Accidentally justified or accidentally unjustified?
I think accidentally, like, there's no justification in that. Like, if you go into your car and go to, like, run somebody over, that's not manslaughter. But if you hit somebody, yeah.
I would say manslaughter is accidentally unjustified because you still go to jail for a much shorter period of time, but it's still against the law. Accidentally justified would be this more terrible term we have, but it's like collateral damage in war would be accidentally justified killing. And then intentional justified killing, really the only thing that is self-defense or wartime.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for breaking it down for me. So we're saying he's an unethical serial killer.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure, dude.
But actually, so Billy, you said a normal person wouldn't necessarily see him chopping wood at the beginning as a sign of him being someone who's going to kill you with an axe. And that is definitely true. But again, I will say of my previous point of the people who seem to be attracted to this Joseph Aaron character are also not normal people, because a normal person, I would say, would not answer some random advertisement online to go into the woods to see someone they've never met for amorphous reasons, being guaranteed lots of money to do it. Like, it's like these are the people who never got taught to not take candy from a stranger. Don't go to the strange van. Don't go take it from adults you don't know. Like, these are the untutored children who became adults, it feels like. So, again, I don't mean it in a stigmatizing sense, but it seems to me that there's something distinctly not normal about OG Aaron, Dave, and Sarah.
Maybe they're just lonely and poor, okay? When you have that combination, you know, if you're poor, you don't have the internet. If you're lonely, you know, whatever.
But also, like, I think that's fascinating that his, like, method of finding people is the internet, because that is such a broad reach, and we only are seeing the the samples that have selected it. We're only looking at his hit rate, so we don't know how many times he's missed. Like, we don't know how many times how many views that ad on Craigslist got that people went, well, that's a fucking trap. No, thanks. Yeah. And like went on with her day and didn't get murdered in the woods. Yeah. So
base rate,
you know.
We have base rate illiteracy.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of, I had a friend one time telling me that they really believed in like synchronicity of mind to reality because they,
okay. What does that mean?
Like, they would think of something and then it happened, and like there was a connection between the thought, their thinking of it happening and it happening. So the easiest, well, they said that, like, you know,
it's like manifesting. Yeah.
Like, the last couple times they thought about Michael Jackson, a Michael Jackson song came on the radio or wherever they were. Mm, I was like, okay. So you, but it's like, well, have you compared that to every time you thought about Michael Jackson and it didn't come on? You know, what's your base rate of Michael Jackson thought to hit? So yeah, it's the same idea.
It's the, it's like a coincidence. It's the, you know, Luke, you're fond of saying this, no dippity like serendipity.
That's right.
And yeah, maybe the last two times, yeah, you thought about Michael Jackson, a song came on, but yeah, how many times are you like thinking about, you know, Usher and then a Michael Jackson song comes on? You don't make that connection because it's like, it doesn't match up in your head. Yeah, it's the third variable problem we have in intro statistics, where it's like the correlation does not equal causation. So just because the incidence of sunburn increases at the same rate as the incidence of ice cream sales, it would be wrong to say that selling ice cream results in people getting a sunburn, because there's a third variable that we don't consider, which is that the temperature is hotter, and that can explain both of those things.
Here's my PSA. Education needs to get back to numerate literacy and base rate literacy. That kind of shit would make people's brains way better in our society.
What are those things?
Yes.
No, actually, what are those things?
Numerate lit, like an intelligence of statistics and understanding how numbers work. Hits and misses.
10's bigger than 9. Fucking easy.
That's right.
Come on. All right, next.
Well, no, I never said there was integer illiteracy in the...
Yeah, we know integers.
You'd be surprised. Some don't.
And what was the other one I said? Base rate. Yeah. Like, what's the amount of things going into a situation that make it more or less likely to happen?
Yeah. Another great example is the stats people love to pull out that, like, oh, you know, more people get harmed by vending machines than they do get attacked by sharks. Yeah. And it's like, yes, perhaps, but the interactions between person and vending machine far, far outstrip the incidences of person plus shark.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be a bigger number, but it doesn't necessarily mean the rate is any bigger. Anyway, this is
but then
a weird
how
episode.
Come, how come... So you're saying it's like, you know how you're more likely to get struck by lightning 7 times and win the lottery? Is that the stat?
I don't know if it's 7 times, but I know that's like people say like...
Oh, sorry, 70 times 7.
Here's base rate. If someone says, I don't know if this is true or not, but for the sake of argument, you're more likely to get struck by lightning 7 times and win the lottery. The fact of those are probably... If that's true, that's fine. But there's the third variable, which is the base rate, which is that you are much more unlikely to have either happen to you. So
yeah,
no, I want one or the other.
Well,
that's why I answer all ads to either buy lottery tickets or to run around in fields when it's raining.
Do you hold a big aluminum ladder?
Well, you would increase your odds if you did that.
Yeah.
There are things you could do to increase your odds in that regard, I suppose. In the same way you could buy a million lottery tickets, which makes it more likely that you win. You could run around. So there is agency and human autonomy in all of this, which is the X factor.
Yeah.
So the lesson is, don't answer ads on Craigslist.
Ever. Don't answer ads on Craigslist.
I don't even think there are Craigslist ads anymore like that, because of there was a Craigslist killer, I'm pretty sure, somewhere in the States.
Some asshole had to ruin it for everybody, right?
Yeah, it's totally true.
It's really making it hard for all the other would-be internet serial killers, tell you what. Oh, look at that. I actually have dark triad traits in my notes, so we talked about that already.
Beautiful.
I'm getting my education, my good value for my money, learning all this stuff. Okay, what else we got? Oh, one other thing about Aaron talking about here is like the sheer volume of lies that he does tell in these two movies is kind of like a classical tactic of like people obscuring what is actually a true horrible thing they did. If you mask it with a million like lies of horrible things you do, it's harder to find the like kernel.
I can't believe he's not running for president.
You know, well, you know, there is work. There is news that a Creep 3 is in the works. So who knows? Maybe that'll be
Creep 3. Enter the White House.
Yeah. But one of the lies that I picked up on in this one, much like in Creep 1, where he has the he says he goes to the diner and then he doesn't know what's on the menu later. But he talks about how his first kill was the truck driver at the age of 15. He saw a band at the age of 15. He could pass as 18 because he was tall. Sure. You know, the first time he goes out, a would-be serial killer abducts him and he manages to get the best of him and kill him. And that's how he got his start. Mm-hmm. But then when he's playing two lies and a truth, which we never played in day camps, we always played two truths and a lie, he says that he's been institutionalized from 14 till 19. And so I was surprised that Sarah didn't pick up on that, considering she picked up on so much else throughout this film, like so many of his other little hints.
Yeah, but she also didn't pick up on so many other things, you know?
Yeah, what's her base rate?
But couldn't he have been lying about that?
Yeah, maybe there were just three lies.
That's the thing. It's like, it makes you ask the question of like, okay, is he lying about this or is he telling the truth but lying about something else? Or is he like double lying to like hide this thing? You know, and it's just like, it becomes so tangled that you don't actually know. You can't count on anything he says. And so the fact that he can say like, I am a serial killer and I'm planning to murder you, you can be like, well, he said a whole bunch of other crazy shit. So maybe this is also a lie. You know?
Princess Bride levels of reasoning, you know?
Inconceivable.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of like, he reminded me of Heath Ledger's Joker, where he has a bunch of stories about how he got those scars. And so you don't know which one is true. They can't all be true, but they could all be false, but you can't ever really be sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else do we have here? What else did I want to say? I wonder if in Creep 3, he's going to have the name Sarah and use that as like a thing. Because he seems like he adopted other people's name.
But unlike the first movie, Sarah's not dead.
That's true. That's true. Right? He's not gonna be dead. I did that write that note before. In my notes I wrote that when she was in the grave before she got out and whacked him on the head with the shovel.
I referenced this at the top and I just have to say it for my own cathartic sanity. Why can't movies just not violate basic laws of health and physics for their climaxes? Like, it would have been so easy to write something else other than multiple stab wounds for either character as to why that they are a little bit incapacitated or a little bit, or maybe Joseph only stabs himself once instead of like five or six times in the gut.
Yeah, why can't they be more like, you know, Star Wars, where, you know, clearly Rey, who's never held a lightsaber before in her life, was able to overpower Kylo Ren because he got shot by fucking Chewie, right?
Okay.
Well, I guess all I could say really is that Creep 2 and Star Wars are take place in different base rate universes.
Universes. Yeah.
But I fucking hate when movies that are supposedly set in reality just flout the rules of what we all intuitively know about how the human body works when it's injured. Why? Mm-hmm. It's so easy.
I don't think this movie is supposed to be based in reality, though, right?
There's no indication that it is like a fantastical or sci-fi or supernatural universe.
Hold on. The indication is when he was able to overpower her after stabbing himself multiple times. Clearly.
Oh, okay.
So at that point in the movie, we know, oh, this is a make-believe world. This is not reality. And then we can change how we view this entire series.
Even though that's probably not the case. If it is, it was poorly written because there was nothing leading up that foreshadowed that turn.
Yeah, I'll take your argument, not in the way you're presenting it, because I feel like you're just trolling us, but I'll take your argument. And Yes, that would be very lazy to write the fact that, like, oh, also this is a universe where you can survive if you've been stabbed in the side a whole
He's
bunch
a superhero.
Of times. It has the same... It has the same, like, logic of, like, kids on the playground where it's like, I shot you. No, I had a shield that was immune to getting shot. And it's like, yeah, well, I had a gun that's better at shooting through shields. And, like, you know, it's just, like, that random escalation. Well, it is bad, bad story.
Here's the plot twist. I'm Wolverine's little brother.
Wolverine, whoa. Too.
Yeah, that's why he wore the mask, right? Wolf.
Yeah.
Ooh, Fuzzy Peaches. Yeah, Fuzzy Peaches is his X-Men name. He's an X-Man, obviously. This is
an X-Men universe. We're going to see Deadpool 3. We're going to see Ryan Reynolds team up with Peach Fuzz.
My God, are they still making those?
Yes, Alex.
They got to stop.
You know what?
They make money.
This entire ending could have been made pretty much the same if they had used tasers instead of knives. Right.
Yeah.
Recover pretty quickly from tasers after the electricity stopped through your body, so you could recover in the way that both Sarah and Aaron do. But no, it's knives and shovels.
Honestly, this movie was pretty unrealistic, right? Like, they're in America. Where were the guns?
Yeah, that's true.
He's not a gun serial killer, but I think, like, they actually give us a perfect way to, you know, have the ending play out more where she gets away and he doesn't die. And maybe that's going on the story of how, like, the first time he ever killed somebody, that guy had tied his wrists up but was bad at tying knots. And maybe Aaron ties her up badly and she's able to escape in some way. Right? Like, you know, like, there is that seed that is planted earlier on that could have come back to explain it, but you're right. There's like, no, he's gonna get stabbed in his, like, liver region a whole bunch and just be able to run through the woods at full force.
And then,
I think,
like,
you had the same critique in You had the same critique in Get Out with the brother with the bocce ball on the head.
I think it was a pool ball. It was a bocce.
Only misstep of the whole film.
But here's the thing. Get Out was not in reality, right? Brain transplants?
Okay.
Come on.
Alex, this is my theory of movies, is that every single movie ever made is actually a documentary from a multiverse. Where that is, like, that movie is from a universe where those rules all make sense.
Hey, you know what they say? If you have a room full of baboons an infinite amount of time, eventually one of these situations will happen.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually chimpanzees or maybe monkeys. I don't know if it's baboons.
No, baboons are way better actors than chimpanzees.
Listen, in one of the universes, it's baboons. In one of the universes, it's monkeys. Yeah, you know what? It's a multiverse.
Yes.
There you go. Plot hole sufficiently sealed up.
It was a decent movie with a bad ending.
Yeah. And I think, like, the ending that they do where both of them are alive at the end of it is, like, a subversion of the expectation from Creep 1. Because you expect one or both of them to be dead by the end of it. Either Aaron wins again and lives to slay another day, or this is the end of the line for him. And, like, having people realize it's the third choice, speaking of base rates, it's not one or the other, it's neither of them die, is a subversion of our expectations. And that's kind of fun to do sometimes.
Do we know for sure it's Aaron at the very end?
No.
The only reason I think it is, it's not confirmed.
It's 'cause of the whistling, right?
Whistling the Peach Fuzz song.
Mm.
So.
But anyone can learn that song. I don't think it's that difficult.
No.
Yeah.
That's true. But I mean, why would
they? They could leave it wide open for it to be somebody else, but there's no really other people left in the movie. And
Saw 10.
It appeared to me that Sarah had a look of recognition on her face at the very end.
Mm.
Yeah. She looked up and it was just like a moment of realization and then credits.
It's New York City. You've probably seen, like, everybody.
It's really hard to see what you're doing because your webcam doesn't work for this one, so I don't really usually I can see your facial expressions.
I would love to read a script you write for a movie, Alex. I think that would be
absolutely
be entertaining.
And Wolverine Jr. comes in at the last minute to save the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? We'll look into it one day.
All right, let's wrap it up here because we're just talking all the things. I feel like I know the answer to this question already, but Alex, I'll ask you first.
Mm-hmm.
Would you see a third Creep?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see what happens to Aaron. Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's not. We don't know. So
maybe it's a whole network.
Plus, you know, if they keep it to sub 90 minutes, absolutely, I will watch a third Creep movie.
That's fair. 80 minutes. A beautiful 80-minute film. As yep. he mentions at the top. All right, well, that's the end of the episode. We're not doing anything conventionally, so.
All right, see ya.
Luke, would you watch a third Creep?
I would watch it, but I would save it for us recording. I would want to watch it. I wouldn't want it to be a rewatch to record. I would want it to be like mm-hmm. fresh. I'd never seen it before. I'm going to talk to the two of you about it. But I do have a recommendation for Creep 3, which I think would be awesome.
Okay.
I think that they
Patrick
should...
Patrick Bryce, are you listening?
I think that they should recast Mark Duplass with Jay Duplass. They should just throw his brother into the role and just make it that much more weirdly meta about all of it. And then...
yes, please.
have him play that same character. And then have Mark Duplass cast in the movie as... Joseph/Aaron/now played by Jay Duplass's brother, who is the person that is trying to rein Creep 3 in.
Okay.
I think that would be...
I think you should write a screenplay.
I think that would be so funny if they just recast that character as his real-life brother and then recast him as the person following up on the ad.
Yeah, that'd be very funny. That'd be so
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would definitely watch a third Creep 3, or as my Discord name says, Threep.
Yeah.
Because you gotta have a number in the title. As long as they don't do the thing where they do in Saw, where they're like, John Kramer has died. So every other sequel is between these two like time periods. Like, I don't need to see a Creep origin. I don't need to see the first kill or anything. I would want it to just be like, go, let's see what kill 41 is, or I guess 40 for real this time, and just go forward rather than just like try to shoehorn something in the middle. I'm looking at you, the Star Wars universe. Not everything has to be between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. You can branch
out. Speaking of Star Wars, why don't they just have the original Aaron come back and he was orchestrating everything from the start?
Mm-hmm. Somehow Aaron survived. Yeah.
I saw him get axed down that, you know, huge drop to the bottom, so.
Yeah.
You know what? But if we do that, it robs Creep of its original punch and meaningful emotional weight. Fuck it, money!
We're going to announce that Aaron survived in a Fortnite chapter of a free, you know, video game that people are playing, and that will have bearing on the whole universe, the Creep universe. Alrighty, this has been a delightful episode, but I think we're kind of out of things to say about Creep. Last call. Alex, anything else to say about it that we didn't mention?
I would have liked a neck massage in a hot tub.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be great, yeah.
What was that song called again? I feel like there's probably something to that. It was his favorite song.
It was, I actually wrote it down. Hang on, let me see if I can find it. Sarah Loves Her Juicy Fruit or something? What is it called?
Well, Sarah was stabbing, the name of the character. Stabbing.
Yeah, but he said, oh, that's the name. Your name's Sarah? That's the name of my favorite song. And the song he calls is, yeah, Sarah Loves Her Juicy Fruit, which is a jam band from, I don't know. I haven't looked it up. And I don't actually have my phone with me. It's in the other room. Because I'm a professional fucking podcaster.
How professional.
I know. Also, I do have to say, an appropriate... blank slate text messaging shot in this movie. When she's messaging him to respond to the ad, it totally makes sense that there's no previous message history. So I was
that's
like,
true.
hats off movie. There you go. That's a good, that's one for you, Alex.
You know what they should have done though? They should have had previous messages and that would have put like a whole different spin on this movie. Do you know?
Yeah, they knew each
You're
other.
Telling me
all.
That they have been in contact with each other before?
Luke, any final thoughts?
Have we referenced the Princess Bride yet? In this,
no, I don't think so.
That's inconceivable.
I can clearly not drink the wine in front of me. No, nothing else.
I think this movie was fine.
It was fine. I also, one last thing I liked, I really enjoyed the scene where they were partying in the living room and she's getting him a glass of wine and you just hear him from the other room screaming, "Mommy needs her juice. Mommy needs her juice." I thought that was very funny.
Yes.
Just like, okay, what a freak. Yeah, check out, definitely check it out, folks. It's on Netflix. You got 80 minutes. It's not going to be too much of your time. It's a fun one. Let's talk about the scariest part of the movie. And I said it earlier, there's no scary part. It wasn't even creepy because Sarah never gave that she was really creeped out by him. Like, she took everything he threw at her and was rolling and helped the audience feel calm about it. And so I don't think that it was even the creepiest part of the movie. I say no scariest part. Wow. Luke, what about you? Scariest part? No scariest part?
I think just like a real life, what is creepy about this dude is how quickly he can flip the switch between empathetic and psychopathic. So like, I'm thinking of that scene really at the beginning where he's like showing a lot of emotion to Dave and like curious about Dave's well-being and safety. And then the moment Dave's out of the room, he's like winking at the camera and just
a little
like
kiss,
a little wave, like a completely different person than we had just witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
So to the extent that that's based in reality, that I find that the creepiest part of it all.
Alrighty. Alex, creepiest, scariest part?
The scariest part of the movie was the second time that he screamed at Sarah for the jump scare. You know, I expected the first time, but the second time, my God, that was terrifying. Yeah, that's it.
I liked his reaction, though, because both times he tries to jump scare her, there's no reaction from her. And he's just like, really? Okay. All right. All right. You got me. All right. Well, let's rate this out of 5. And
he needed to bring better nutcrackers, which I think is a good segue into what we should rate this movie out of.
Nutcrackers.
Segues?
Well... we do. Can I, okay, so may I humbly suggest what we should rate this movie out of? I know it was your selection.
Please. No, please do it. We're throwing convention out the window.
I think we should rate it out of 5 of Aaron's serviceable genitals.
Oh.
You know what? I think we should really flip it on its head and rate it out of 3.
I. You know what? I found his penis and balls to be adequate.
Oh, that's right. We had a full
and flaccid.
Yeah, good for him.
I was totally really fucking disappointed in that scene because I saw cock and balls and I saw no boobies, okay?
No, there were boobies. They're just very fast.
There was a little bit of boobies.
There was a little bit of boobies.
But yeah, we get full dick and balls from Mark Duplass and you know, hats off to him. Hats off to the man. Okay, well, let's rate it out of 5 dick and balls. Alex, you can rate it out of 3 if you want. I'm not going to. I am going to go ahead and say... Jesus. I had a fun time with this movie, folks. It was great. It was silly and stupid and not scary. And I'm giving this one a 3.7. I liked it a lot. Mm. Luke?
The acting was really good. The film style and the lighting and the setting was all really good. I'm like the opposite of Alex in that I genuinely like found footage films, not because I think that they're believable as films, and it is quite a contrivance, but I like the extra feature of using the camera as part of the plot. I think that's the innovative part of found footage, and I've always enjoyed that. And yet, it's totally unbelievable, and the ending was really stupid. So I'm going to give it 3. 3...
Alrighty.
3 cock and balls. 3 serviceable, flaccid serviceable cock and balls.
Flaccid cock and
out
balls.
Out of 5 serviceable, flaccid cock and balls.
Is this the worst thing we've rated it out of ever? Maybe? Who knows?
Alex, no, I think turkey basters was worse.
Oh, turkey basters was way worse. Check out Don't Breathe for that episode. Alex, what are you rating it?
Yeah, I don't remember what I gave Creep 1, so this number should... I don't want to gaslight the audience, but I really enjoyed this one more than the first one. But if the number is lower, then sorry for gaslighting you. I'm going to give it 2 balls and 1.3 peens out of 5. So do the math. That's what right. It is.
3.3. Assuming.
Well, we got to do a little stoichiometry.
Oh, boy. Yeah. What's the base rate? Base of the penis rate. We did it. Woo.
Nice. Nice.
All right. Okay, let's talk about something to cheer. And you know what? Just because I'm feeling fucking feisty as hell, and we're not doing this in order. Alex, you're going first for something to cheer.
Something to cheer. Okay. Damn, I didn't think of anything. You can edit it, or just give me like a few moments to think about
something. I'll put in that little music I keep using.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be great.
The silver shamrock music?
Yeah, maybe.
We haven't used that in a while.
It's been a while.
St. Patrick's Day is coming up, right?
It is. Maybe this will be the St. Patrick's Day episode. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Drink responsibly.
Well, this is not a current cheer, but it will be a future cheer. I will be in Vancouver this upcoming Saturday. So few last month for you listener, if you're listening right on the dot, and gonna go see a show, and I've been looking forward to it for a very long time, and I'm excited for it. So
what show is it? Excellent.
The Hotelier and Foxing 10-year reunion.
Ooh,
or not 10-year reunion, 10-year album tour.
Cool.
Luke, what are you cheering?
Yeah, fuck convention. I'm going to cheer two things. So,
oh, hell yeah. Let's go.
The more kind of like local one is that I had my, I have a really true fiction first. The last recording was my first foursome. I bought a new microphone and a new stand, and I had three friends on. So I'm cheering that. That was a lot of fun.
First foursome.
Yeah. And then, but my bigger cheer is that as of recording, last night, my dad and my sister Joelle got to see, they went to the Sphere in Las Vegas and saw U2.
Oh, the weird big ball?
Yeah. My dad's favorite band ever. And it was my sister Joelle's Christmas gift to my dad was to fly him down to Vegas and see his all-time oldest favorite band in the Sphere. And I just think that's really cool. So...
yeah,
I'm cheering that for them.
Do you think they were imprisoned in that giant sphere because of when they put that album on all of our phones?
Yes.
Is that like their punishment? They have to live there now.
look.
I hear the Sphere's just losing money though, right?
Well, maybe. But
it's bankrupting the city of Vegas? Is that's got to be the truth.
I feel like that's impossible.
I think I read it on an Instagram comment.
It's
probably. So it's true.
One of the weirdest and coolest looking things ever, though.
It's so weird. Yeah, it's so weird. It doesn't look real. No. Like, I've seen video of it. And I was like, is this AI? Am I looking at, like, something that's fake? I don't know. It's wild.
Yeah.
Breaks my brain.
So is Adele not playing there anymore?
I don't know. I don't know if she was or wasn't, but...
is it like an artist in residence kind of thing?
I think U2 has a residency. Do they? Oh, maybe.
I think they're in a residency right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
cool.
How do they play in this? I want to make this joke work. How do they even perform in this sphere? Spheres have no the edge. Sorry.
Very good. I applaud.
Worth
it. I applaud it. Well, U2's flat earthers, so.
Okay. No, we're not doing that. No flat earthers. The earth is a sphere. Shut up, everyone who says differently. All right. So my cheer is getting on the True Detective train with this latest season that's been coming out, True Detective Night Country. I saw that it was coming out. And
Which night? Is it K or N? Or KN?
Just N. N-I-G-H-T. Okay. It's set in Ennis, Alaska during the
In December, the
time when the sun goes away. So whenever Josh Hartnett was fighting vampires, this was also
Can you imagine
happening.
If they made a True Detective set in like 1100s France?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
That'd be cool. That'd be Night Country, K-N-I-G-H-T. I see what you're going for.
Yeah.
No, I really enjoyed True Detective. I will say that, you know, I missed the hype when it first came out. I think it was like 2012 or 2014 almost.
2012 was the first season.
2012, yeah. And so hearing everybody talk about how great it was, what a tour de force. And really, it's like a lot of chances for Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson to give very long monologues, which is, you know, skillful and talented. And I enjoyed the story. Season 2, less so. Season 3, I really enjoyed. with the like time stuff they did in that one. No spoilers, but True Detective Night Country is a very fun show. And like Luke, you said earlier, Jodie Foster is great. There's a scene where she's interacting with somebody else on the police force and he says something that annoys her and she just like smacks his coffee cup into his face. And it made me laugh out loud because it's just like, it's just so quick and so like over so fast. And she was back to what she was talking about. And it was just like, shut up. And I was just like, yeah, that was funny.
I will, little plug here. If you do like True Detective season one, you can check out episodes 55 and 56 of Really True Fiction, where we talk about season one of True Detective.
There you go. Time is a flat circle, but not the Earth. Earth is a round sphere.
Yes.
All right.
I have to say that is the weirdest conspiracy theory because like it feels like the one of the only conspiracy theories that is intended 100% simply to troll the other side, because I can't imagine, I can't think of one thing in life that changes if it's true.
Yeah.
You can't travel. That's huge.
Right.
Haven't you ever watched the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
I have, but I still felt like they traveled.
Yeah.
They traveled to Davy Jones's locker, a.k.a. death.
I didn't see anybody dribble a basketball once. They were traveling the whole time.
You know, that's a joke, but that's the reality of it now. What happened to the game I loved?
Okay. Well, this has been a particularly unhinged episode. I feel like maybe we were able to let off a little bit of our weird steam every week when we were doing it, and now it's like being bottled up for these monthly episodes. So
I hope it's both informative and entertaining.
You know what?
Yeah, we had a lot to talk about.
Informative. Everybody listening, watch Anatomy of a Fall and American Fiction. Those movies are fucking great.
Ooh, yeah, do that. Do that. Agreed. 10 out of 10 recommend. But we're going to say goodbye. Luke, is there anything else you want to plug? You got your foursome, Really True Fiction. Anything else?
I will say, not a plug so much as an announcement. Alex and I have made the decision to discontinue Full Spectrum Cinema, so I will not be appearing on
Other
the
Alex.
Radio. Yes. Other Alex. Yes, sorry. Other Alex and I.
I was like, shit, my bad. I missed that meeting.
So I'm back down to, instead of three podcasts and a radio show, I'm back down to three podcasts. So it's kind of like Steve Martin quit the movie or something like that. I don't know.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know what? It's a good, all good things come to an end, and I hope you enjoy your other endeavors. Alex, you want to plug anything? You want to say anything?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. You going to start a Grey's Anatomy rewatch podcast?
No.
Should have been doing it.
No.
I got nothing. All right. Well, that has been Creep 2 by way of many tangents and digressions.
Alex, don't do a review podcast. Do a watch-along podcast where you drink wine. You can call it Grapes Anatomy.
Yay! Alex, do that. I'll subscribe. I'll join your Patreon. I'll do everything. Do it.
That's right, because wine's made out of grapes.
That's right.
Nothing gets past you.
I got it.
All right. Well, I think from all of us, goodbye. But specifically, bye for me. Luke, say goodbye if you would like to.
I would like to. Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Very good, Alex. We'll see you all next month for another episode of Nothing to Fear. Remember, folks, they're just movies, and this is just a podcast. There's nothing to fear.